moment of togetherness in your presence. We honor you and we bless you. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. What a lovely morning. Seems like the wind is not blowing us away and the sun is not scorching us. Just a wonderful summer morning, just giving us a great break. But it almost like feels fresh out there, like it's like a sense of expectation for the year. I'm very excited to just share the word this morning, and I'm also very excited about this year. Let me just pray for a second. Father, as we come before you this morning, we do come with heads bowed low, indicating that we know we do not know. And even as we hear the scriptures, Lord, we know that we are so in need of the Holy Spirit to come and illuminate for us that which is from your kingdom and to make it plain for our minds. Here, gee ons openbaring vanoggend. Give us revelation that we will know what your will is for us this morning and that we will have the power to then do it. And I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Right, let me get going. If you're new around here or on holiday, my name is Werner. I'm one of the pastors around here and it's just awesome to be here. Is there anyone still on holiday? Okay. So all the locals just give me a wave. This should look like the Mexican wave. Welcome back. It's awesome to have you back. Who's back for the first, who lives here, but this is your first Sunday back home? Couple of people, welcome back. We're glad you made it home safely. Last week, I'm just doing a two-part, I don't know if you can call a two-part a series, but let's call it a series. Last week, I just did a message on the fact that every heart has a king, and we looked at the rise and fall of King Solomon. And I'm assuming a little bit of the context of the book of Kings. I can't give all the context again, that'll take all my time, but don't worry if you missed last week, you won't be left in the dark, but you can always go back and catch up if you want to. It's on YouTube. And so this week I want to go on. I want to talk about reflections on the rise and fall of Solomon, fading embers and reviving your love for Jesus. Now, as I was typing this title, I'm like, man, this is so sloppy. It does not work in all the wonderful ways. And then I'm like, but that's the perfect title for the life of Solomon. It's just disjointed and it's almost like you can't get a grip on this man. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to leave it just like that and see if I can make it work for me. What we're going to do to give you a little bit of a bird's eye view is we're going to look at some of the mistakes that Solomon made, and I'm going to summarize them into 4 points or 4 pillars, if you may. That if we can watch out for these things where he failed, and if we can be sensitive to those areas, be intentional about it and be aware in it, then we can learn and we can grow and actually advance in the very places where Solomon got stuck and at the end the kingdom was torn to shreds. I'm going to almost like start at the end and just read for us the demise of Solomon, and then we'll rewind and we'll look at some of these legendary mistakes he made. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, since this has been your practice, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes that I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. So we're right here at the end where Israel literally breaks into Israel and Judah. The kingdom, the 12 tribes breaks because of Solomon's sin. There's almost like a civil war. There's now conflict within Israel, which makes them weak to the forces from without. It takes them to poverty, and most importantly, it takes them to spiritual decline. The nation backslid because of this man. Now, some of you know the story of Solomon, and we will remember that he had actually quite a great start. And we'll read that for us. It's going to lead into our first point. The question we need to ask here is, how can a man with such a great start come to such a bad end? Let's read here together. And David the king said to all the assembly, Solomon, okay, now let me just say this. Do not get confused. The book of Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings, that's actually one book divided into two, and 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Okay, Kings and Chronicles, they both follow the narratives of the over the same time, the narratives of the kings, with just a little bit of a different emphasis. Chronicles follows a little bit more of the southern kingdom, where Kings follows a little bit more of the northern kingdom. But you'd see scripture popping up from Chronicles and Kings, because this is where this history would be recorded for us. Okay. David the king said to all the assembly, this is David in front of his people, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. And the work is great, for the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord God. So we see, or we hear about the young Solomon. At this moment, not wise and rich, young, inexperienced, under the guidance of his dad. And then David goes on, verse 2, so I have provided for the house of my God so far as I was able. And then he goes on to say, gold for the things of gold, silver for the things of silver, wood for the things of wood, okay, in verse 2. Moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have a treasure of my own gold and silver. And because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God. Now, what we see here is we see David setting his son up to succeed. Now, most of us, if we say, who was Solomon? He was very smart and very rich. But we have to go back to see that this man, Solomon, was a man who stood on the shoulders of his dad. David speaks to the assembly and he says, I'm going to make an offering. This which the kingdom have built, I'm going to give over to Solomon, but of my own treasury as well. And then it's not on there. He asks the people to do the same. And they give even more than what David is able to give. Which means Solomon gets given, as a young and inexperienced man, a lot of wealth from the one generation to him. Right. Let's go on. And of all the sons the Lord has given me, he has chosen Solomon my son to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. This is David speaking. Then God said, it is Solomon your son who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son. Number one, you see the blessing of financial wealth given by David and the people to Solomon. David endorses his son, and God endorses Solomon. What are we seeing here? The ultimate start. We're talking about a start of the ages. Your father loves you, he blesses you, the people loves you, they bless you, the Lord bless you. Let's go on. And Solomon, the son of David, established himself in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and made him great. And so what we also see is, as he then went on from being young and inexperienced, he became great and God was with him. So this great start actually continues to be great for some time. Not only did the people of Israel love him and God and his dad, but the Queen of Sheba arrives. She sees everything he has. If we can go to 1 Kings 10. When she sees and hears everything around Solomon, look at what the scripture says, that last line. There was no more breath in her. Like Solomon literally took her breath away. And someone made a song. And I'm just going to head into it. The first thing we need to acknowledge this morning, and it's a tough one, but let it cut into your heart, is a strong start doesn't guarantee a faithful finish. A great start is not automatically indicative of a great end. If there ever was an incredible start, a man set up to win, it was this man. I mean, you don't only have your dad, your family, well, not all his brothers loved him, but your dad and the whole of Israel and God backing you. You have all the wealth and all the wisdom, but he fell apart at the end. He did not finish faithfully. Now, if a strong start doesn't guarantee a faithful finish, what do we do with a point like this? Now, there's a lot to be, we can go into this for many sermons, which I'm not going to do this morning, but I'm only going to mention one or two things, and I know that the Holy Spirit knows how to take things further in our hearts. Often when you start, you get to ride the wave that others made for you. Not everyone is privileged like that. But almost everyone, I'll say almost everyone. If not at home. If at home there was no wave of momentum for you, there will be a wave of momentum for you in church. Let me explain. If you're new around here, maybe you came in here, you were looking for the Lord, and you being drawn to him, you maybe gave your heart to the Lord last week. You've walked into a church that was not here. 15 years ago, Shofar Hermanus did not exist. But somewhere before you came, people prayed. People gave. People sacrificed. And last week you walked in. Why? The Lord is setting you up. Someone else paved the way for you to take it further. You come in here, there's a worship band. There was a time where it was YouTube. There was a time where there was no office member, only a small group leader, and then there was a time where there was one pastor. But the Lord has been building and growing, and you know what? Last week you came in, and maybe you say, listen, I don't have a mom and dad. But you know what? You're not an orphan anymore, because since last week you walked into a family that was here before you came. A strong start is given to you, is offered. But here's the thing. If a strong start is offered to us, it is because of the prayers, the efforts, and the love of many others. At one stage, that needs to be transposed to personal faith. That which starts in the face of the community needs to now be planted into the heart of worship at home. The faith that starts in the church must also bloom at home. This is the key of finishing faithfully. I want to tell you a story. And I know, I mean, this is almost like a exaggerated story, but it's a real story. It happened this week. A friend of mine, his dad was a pastor, elderly dad, suffered of Parkinson's many years, and he died this week. Okay. His body became weak. He used to love to run. At one stage, he was very fit and healthy, and he was involved in church. There was a lot of strength. There was the people, there was the music, there was everything. And then when he got older, he got Parkinson's, and he still enjoyed to run on the roads, but he often would fall and hurt himself, and he could no longer run anymore. And then the last couple of years, he really got weak, until this week when he was eating, he couldn't get his food down, and he went to the Lord because his food got stuck in his airway. He was very weak, so it happened peacefully. He hasn't been in ministry in a church for more than 10 years. Next to his bed was two books on prayer. Because what he was doing is, he was still running in his faith towards God. It's like, if there's one thing I can do, is I can pray. And so there was a book from Andrew Murray on how to pray. And so until the end, he was being faithful. Now, this is a faith that started in the church, employed by the church, but it finished at home. Still had a hunger for the Lord. If you want to finish faithfully, you need to take the momentum you get here. Take a branch of it and plant it at home. It needs to become your own. And in one way, the faith of David never became the faith of Solomon. David had atrocious sins, but he always turned his nose back to God. He fell before the Lord and he rose before the Lord every time. Solomon was an ember that slowly faded away. A strong start doesn't guarantee a faithful finish. Let's go on. I almost feel like I don't need to go on, but I will. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now, okay. Last week I was kind of butchering this imagery that C.S. Lewis used, and then this week I studied. I'm going to present it better. there's a big word. It's going to make me sound smart, but this helps with illustration. There's this word theophany. Okay, and what it simply means is that it's a visible manifestation of God given to mankind. Something from God revealed to mankind. The purpose of it, theophany, is that when I see it, I remember God and I'm glad. Now what C.S. Lewis says, there's the sun and there's the sunbeams. And the sunbeams are all these wonderful things that the Lord gives to us. For example, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper. Who sent woman into this world? Who created marriage? God. And like a sunbeam, when this blessing comes into our lives, we have the opportunity to experience the sunbeam and look straight at God and say, "You did this, Lord. Something of you is manifesting in my life. My marriage, how wonderful. Every good and perfect gift comes from above." Wow. And so C.S. Lewis actually took it further. He said, if you have a piece of bread and it's all you have, but you remember, there's also the possibility that you could not have this piece of bread. And you can take the piece of bread and say, "You know what, Lord? Wow. You have given me something to eat." You will finish strong. Because you have learned how to trace a sunbeam, as simple as a piece of bread, to the sun. Now the problem here is that mankind in its fallenness wants to take the sunbeams but push away the sun. Now we see that marriage is from the Lord. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and receives favor from the Lord. But for Solomon, that which is good, which is supposed to cause worship to happen, was the start of sin. Just read with me. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from the nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after other gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord. Now, God's creation says, I'm just using marriage as an example because this is where we're at, okay? There's many other blessings, and marriage is not ultimate. You don't have to get married, remember that, okay? But let's take marriage, for example. If you are given into marriage and the Lord has provided for you a wife, it is a cause for worship. You look at your marriage, you say, Lord, wow, you thought this out. I worship you. It is the very thing that took Solomon's heart away from the Lord. Very subtly. And here's the thing I want to land with us. Blessings are meant to reveal God, not replace him. Blessings are windows we should look through, not windows we should look to. Everything in your life, every good and perfect gift are granted to you in order that if you look through it, you see him on the other side and you lift your hands. That does two things. It lifts him up and it loosens actually your hand on earthly things. They're just windows. Oh, I want you to bless someone with this thing. No problem, Lord. You see, I'm not clinging to the window. I'm clinging to what's on the other side. Now, what happened to Solomon as the blessings came down, he started to grasp the things from God instead of God himself. His many wives, his wealth, and his status. Are you with me this morning? What are the things that the Lord has blessed you with? Let them be fuel for worship and be very loose with it. Because if God's going to use you and you want to be agile for him, he might ask of you to shift this here, bless here, and then you might receive there. But constantly look on the other side. Look through the window, not to the window. This is where Solomon failed. Let's go on. I want to talk about shadows for a moment. I'm just reiterating the greatness of some of the great things in Solomon's life. Solomon, the son of David, established himself in the kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and made him great. We had the slide up. So we see something about the greatness of Solomon again. I don't know how many of us that knows the Bible remembers this. Who prayed and then fire came down on the altar? Who? Who else? Read with me. As soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering. And the sacrifices and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord. Like I said last week, church is on fire. It is Solomon who's praying. And it's not only Elijah who calls down fire, it's Solomon. And the people are there like, this guy must be it. We've never seen anything like this. This is before the time of Elijah. So he was first. The people bow down their faces to the ground on the pavement and worship. And so we see success in the ministry of Solomon. Now the Lord appeared to Solomon on two occasions. The one time he was praying for wisdom and he appeared to him again. He said, if you follow my ways, if my people are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. God was interacting with him on two occasions. Before that, There's a hint of a crack. There's a sign of a sin. Read with me. Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 3, this is early on, made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David. Now remember, Moses said, hey, we need to get out of Egypt, let us go. What is Solomon doing? He's bringing Egypt back into Israel. All right? It reveals a crack. Now read with me what James says. It says, but each person, when he is tempted, when he is lured and enticed by his own desire, the desire, when it has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above. What James says is, sin that's got devastating consequences starts how? Small. It is like a seed that sprouts and grows, and at one stage it delivers the fruit, a blow of calamity. Now, let me read this and then speak about it a little bit. Beware of small sins hiding in the shadow of great success. God is with Solomon. David is with Solomon. Solomon is blessed. The Queen of Sheba lost her breath. Solomon just brought a woman from Egypt into the palace. That doesn't matter. Have you seen all the other things? It must be that we understand that the wrong way, because this man is so great in every area. I'm sure that an excuse will be made for this daughter of Pharaoh. And so what we see is, we see a small sin, and I say the small like this because it seems small in the face of the great successes. But the successes is casting a shadow which makes it hard to spot the sin. But it is this little thing that breaks the whole kingdom. How do I finish faithfully? If you can pick up small seeds of sin, you will not struggle with the bushes when they grow. Now, religion has got no help for us here. Because religion looks, ja, maar kijk wat doen ek, ek doen eigenlijk goed. Religion hides this very well. It is only with the help of the Holy Spirit with whom you walk. And you walk into your house, for example, and you're like, what is this? And you pray and you seek. And as you pray, the Holy Spirit reveals, my son, this thing, let it go. Or you get in your car and something bothers you and you realize, the way I spoke to my colleague yesterday was quite condescending. And I realize now that I've become comfortable in taking preference over other people and speaking down. Now, no one is going, no one is seeing that. It's not a public sin. Your wife's not mad at you. But it's a little thing that if the Holy Spirit shows you that and you can pick it up, you'll be fit for a faithful end. Amen. David's sins was big and bold. And he fell with a bang and got up before the Lord. He said, do not take your spirit from me, please. I pray that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so repentance was always near to him. Watch out for small sins hiding in the shadows of success. I must go on. I'm going to read it again because as I'm making my points, I'm just alluding back to some of the things. Okay, Deuteronomy. Okay, now we are 200 years before Solomon lives, and you've got the law, and it says the following: you shall not intermarry with them, giving your daughters to their sons or taking their daughters for your sons, for they would turn away your sons from following me. 200 years before. Solomon is brought up in the Davidic line. He knows this. He's an Israelite. There's prophets, there's priests. He knows this very well from being a young child. He knows it in his head. Not only does Solomon know it in his head, he teaches it. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. And what does Solomon write? But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Who would have guessed the next verse? If we can go on. To that next one, please. Is there a next verse? There we go. Now, Solomon loved many foreign women. And like, how? I'll tell you why. Let's go to the next slide also. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart from the Lord. Oh, there we go. Just listen to me. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. His heart was not wholly true unto the Lord. What we must do, not to fail where he failed, is we must close the gap. We must close the gap. What is the gap? He learned not to take foreign women. He learned it so well that he wrote it, so he knew it, but he did not do it. So there was a gap between what he believed and what he actually did with his life. And that gap, through that gap, Israel fell. And his home collapsed. It's actually what Pastor Andres has been sharing with us this last week in the office. Blessed are you if you not only hear, but if you do. And so here is the key to finishing faithfully to the end, like a fading ember or a faithful end, is close the gaps in your life as best you can. Rather be open about sin, rather talk about it, rather mention this gap. Listen, I know this is where I need to be, but I really struggle, but I am in an effort. I want to narrow that gap between what I believe and how I live. Because with Solomon, the gap went wider. One wife from Egypt, and then the Moabites, the Edomites. And the gap went wider until his whole house fell through the gap. We must close the gap. I just want to recap for us. A strong start doesn't guarantee a faithful finish. Blessings are meant to reveal God, not replace him. Beware of small sins hiding in the shadows of great success. And we must close the gap. Now, what do we do with something like this? Because it seems quite hard. It's like a mouthful, a plateful. But I've got good news for us. In Jesus, we have a king who was richer than Solomon. But by his own will, he became poorer to close the gap between you and me, you and him. He was more famous than Solomon, but he did not hold on to his fame. Instead, he laid it down and became despised. And the people asked, who are you? In order to close the gap between me and God, between you and God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, you see that gap? Have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace. Solomon could not do it. David could not do it. Joshua could not do it. They were mirrors, they were patterns, they were pointing, but he is the one the King Elijah was waiting for. Who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. How do you respond when you study Solomon's life? We can have that 4 points on again, Umkus, please. You go to the one who knows how to close the gap and the one who was faithful until the end. And you say, I surrender my crown at your feet. And this is my prayer for us, that we will not be fading embers, but that there will be a revival in our hearts as we love him more and more and more. Amen. Let's stand this morning and respond to the Lord. What is the Lord saying to you this morning? What is he whispering on your heart? I hope that he's stirring you. I hope that he's pressing on your organs, your spiritual organs, reminding you, inviting you, loving you, leading you. When you hear this morning and you sense the Lord pulling on your heart, don't say, no, this is too hard. Be happy when God is at work in your heart. It's a sign of his presence. It's a sign that he's here working with you. What is he saying to you this morning? Let's just pray in this place this morning. If I can ask believers just to pray in the Spirit for a moment. Let's just lift up his name. We honor him as the gap closer. The one who eliminated the distance between us and God. With his own blood. We honor you, King Jesus. This morning, I have one call of faith I want to make. I want to ask you to really have faith this morning if the Lord is speaking to you. And I want to ask you, is it time for you to close the gap between you and Jesus? Is it time for you to connect with him heart to heart, face to face, and not be shy? And this morning, we want to pray with you. And it might be that this is a decision for you, a new decision to come to faith. But it can also be that you had a good start, but that the embers have faded. But it's not too late for you because you are still here. And God is still a God that says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, I will forgive their sins. So this morning, if you want to close the gap, I want you to put up your hand very high and say, that's me. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for the faith. And just I'm going to call you to the front in a second. So put up your hand very high. Say, that's me. It's your first step. Say, I'm closing the gap. Is there anyone else? I'm going to count to three, and I want you to come to the front. I want you to close the gap by walking out, 1, 2, 3, and coming all the way to the front. Can all the facilitators come and join me here in front? We're going to pray for people. We're going to minister to them, and we're going to love them this morning. Don't be shy. You can come out all the way to the front. If I can have a man praying with every man and a lady praying with every lady, that'll be great. Need some men here. When Solomon prayed, the presence of the Lord did something in the place. When believers today gather with open hearts, the Lord saves and he still moves. I want to ask you to do a brave thing this morning. If you are here with a friend or with a family member, would you be so kind just to sit down and ask your friend, what is the Lord saying to you this morning? Take a seat. Let's just take 3 minutes and ask your friend, what is the Lord saying to you this morning? If you came alone, take a moment just to focus on the Lord. You can also walk to your friend if you see that they're alone. What is pressing on your heart this morning? Thank you, everyone, for being together here this morning. Once you are done sharing with your friend, you are dismissed. You're welcome to grab a cup of coffee. We look forward to see you again next week. The Lord bless you.